Everard Halbert is from Wurungafakata, Ngati Tamangati Whiti, and Victoria University of Wellington's Teheringa Waka Centre for Justice Innovation has just been given just over 700 grand from the Michael and Suzanne Boren Foundation towards the Custodial Remand Before Trial or Sentence Project. Everard is the Māori co-director for that centre, and he's kindly with us now. Everard, tēnā koe. Thanks for joining us on the program.
Yeah, tēnā koe, Dale. Thanks very much for the mihi. It sounds like you do have a lot of interesting kōrero this morning, so ka pai.
Good to have you with us. You make it interesting-er. Good to talk with you, mate. Thanks so much. Everard, could you tell us a little about the purpose of the Custodial Remand Before Trial or Sentence Project? Background it for our listeners, please.
Yeah, so I guess the background, Dale, first of all, is just the centre's been going for 6 months. Happily, it's housed at the Teheringa Waka Victoria University Law Faculty, and as you say, is finally funded by the Boren Foundation, including this project on remand and custody. And I think the purpose really of this particular project, you know, we've done other work, for example, sexual violence law reform and what about the well-being of people in criminal justice. But this is another project, and it is focused on remand and custody, where the centre is trying to going to carry out some research. It has been funded, as you say, by the Boren Foundation to do this work. So it's going to carry out some research. Some of that will look like research on the computer. Others will look like interviewing different people and in some other spaces, just observing what's happening in the courts there. And in doing that, evaluating what's going on, providing some education around that. In the end, the centre just wants to be, you know, just wants to be a trusted voice, an independent one and an impartial one. And Dale, just adding to those voices that have been calling for change. You know, organisations have been doing that for a long time, Māori academics, Māori in the community, and lots of other people are asking for change, and people are trying to work out, you know, how can we do that? What can we do for our Māori?
Which is important. So many of those on the inside, as we speak, are in for less than 6 months. Many of them are, I'm assuming, custodial remand, and sadly, half of them or thereabouts, our people, Everard. Could you just reflect on that, the current percentages, and give us an overview of why people would be remanded in custody, how common that practice is, and what are the current law and practices relating to imprisonment before trial or sentence, and why do they need reviewing?
Yeah, so the important part about this, just for your listeners there, Dale, is that remand means that people are put in prison while they're waiting for trial or while they're waiting for their sentence, basically the next step in the court process for them. So some of the numbers on that, since 2015, the population of people in remand in prison has doubled since 2015, and so has their prison, so has their percentage of the prison population. So those numbers look like there's about 3,600 people in remand. So if you walk into a prison, 44% of the people in prison will be on remand. Remember, they're either waiting for trial or they're waiting for their sentence. So that's 44% of the prison population. If you walked into a woman prison, then that does reach 50%. So half of the people in there, half of our wahine in there, are on remand. That's always going to have a massive impact for Māori because, as we know, despite our population, the population of Māori in prison is 50%. So half of that population is Māori. And that's always going to have an impact on us. The reasons for the and remand just keeps on increasing, you know, those numbers. And hopefully some of the research that we can do can have a look at those complicated reasons around why that is. When people talk about, you know, how is it that we go into remand, what's happening there, some people will talk about, well, it's to protect our community, and that's balanced by the rights of individuals to have their freedom and to not have those freedoms taken away. Hopefully what this research can do is, you know, really, is this the only way of protecting our community, or there are other ways of doing it? So, for example, are there people who have been put in remand simply because they're poor, simply because they don't have a home? So, you know, looking at those complicated reasons and observing the courts and doing those interviews and doing those research to see, well, what are the other options, including what are Māori saying? what are Māori in the community and other people saying in terms of the other options, and other community organisations as well. It's not just focused on Māori, this project. It's focused on all peoples, but it does have a focus on Māori, on Pacifica, on women, also people who are neurodivergent and those with mental health problems. What is remand like for them? Because as you said earlier, you know, those number of days in remand is upwards of 2 months heading towards 3 months. And remember, those people who are in there for that long, some of those people won't be found guilty. So the impacts on those people will be around, what does that mean for their housing? While they're staying in prison, what does that mean for their housing? What does that mean for their job? And support in the prison for people on remand is not the same as support for people who have been sentenced, because those on remand are considered to be kind of in the short-term space. So that support is not there for them in the same way. And Dale, as you know, Māori are always thinking about those pōtaha, which is what's the impact on you know, our Māori in prison and others as well. But what's the impact on their taha hinengaro, their mental health, on their wairua, spiritual health, on their tinana, physical health, and finally, you know, on the whānau health. And that's going to impact on hapū and iwi as well. What does that mean for people back home? So those are some of the impacts. Hopefully, Dale, you know, fire away with any of your other questions, but hopefully what the research is able to do is to provide, in the end, you know, this finishes around 2025, but in the end, just adds to all of those other voices who are saying things need to change and have been saying for a very long time things need to change. But hopefully the centre can add some more accessible information so that everybody can read some of this stuff. And to make that information accessible, you know, there'll be a short video, a short documentary, and a symposium to go with that as well, which is just people, you know, hearing the kōrero and hearing what thoughts are and what's happening, what's the impacts on that, and what might some recommendations and options be.
I think you've done a beautiful job of explaining what this project is aiming to do, Everard. Good on you. And, you know, we should always be concerned about the impact on whānau through this incarceration. And as you say, often people are found not guilty, and you've got to wonder what sort of damage we are doing psychologically to those who eventually are found not guilty. And I do take your point and respect it too, that some people are incapacitated in the sense that they can't argue the case for themselves. They may have all sorts of emotional challenges or communication issues. So it does seem that our people are bearing the brunt of this age-old practice, and we are looking for prison reform. We must also look at remand reform and other ways of getting to where we need to. And, of course, there's the obvious case too, of clogged-up court systems where those on the inside are made to pay the price because of systemic failure.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Dale, there are lots of people who are trying, you know, different ways of doing things and who are trying to have another voice so that it's not just research and voice anymore, that action goes along with it. You know, you have Chau Marama by, you know, motivated and given some power by the Chief Judge Hemi Tomonu, who, you know, happens to have gifted us with some words for our name, which is Ngako Nui Ki Te Tangata, which is placing people at its heart. And I think for Māori and for others, that's what we're trying to do here. You have, you know, corrections trying to do things as well with its Hokairangi strategy, victim operating model, and, you know, police have Te Paioranga and trying to do things with reframe. So people are saying, there's voices out there saying things need to change. I just hope that we can get together and, you know, move from, yeah, we need change, to acting on that. I remember being a law student, must be 25 years ago now, I want to say, somewhere thereabouts, and thinking, yeah, I can see what the lecturer is saying here and it's important, and yet what does that mean for Māori?
Well, I'm pleased we've got somebody like you who has a decent handle on this to help with this project. How far through it are you, and when will it be completed? What are you hoping it will result in?
Yeah, you know, I just want to say, Dale, I'm only one of the small voices, and I'm not an expert in this criminal space, and there are many others and many Māori too who are, but I'm happy to be one of the smaller voices trying to have bring some of these words together and some of this action together. But, you know, to your question, yeah, the centre's only been going for 6 months. We've just got that funding through. So we've started, we've got researchers on board. I've got a Māori advisor to help me in different spaces. But the in terms of the milestones, those will finish, including, you know, that book, video documentary, and that symposium. That will all be come to an end by 2025. So between now and the end of 2025, we'll come out with some of those things. And as soon as we have some information worth sharing, I'm sure we will put that out there for people to have a whakaaro and come and have a voice and listen to. You know, this name, Te Heringa Waka, that Victoria University has and kindly been shared with the centre, is that hitching post for canoes, so that when people, for the time they want to spend at the centre or at the university, either researching, listening or giving kōrero, then they can tie their waka to us, hear what that kōrero is, share all of their wisdom and knowledge and passion, and let us know what's working, what's not working, and then unhitch their waka and people will go their different ways. So hopefully, you know, that's part of what the centre can join.